Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. You're with Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to TNT Radio on a huge news day. Lots happening. With so much to unpack and extract the truth from, I'll be getting to a former Commonwealth Games track and field champion shortly to get her views on the most common sense decision yet in the transgender debate you will ever hear. As a matter of fact, World Athletics, led by the fabulous former world champion long distance runner Lord Sebastian Coe, has become the first major sporting body in the world to ban transgender athletes from female sporting competition. This is mammoth. It is mammoth. It will aggravate the LGBTIQ mob no end, but it is a correct decision. It is a decision for the ages, a decision of common sense and scientific know-how, which sometimes in this debate is overshadowed by political correctness. And I'd be keen to hear your reaction to this significant ruling today. And where to now for the International Olympic Committee, which has allowed transgender athletes to dominate women's Olympic sporting events if they wish? It's always been, to me, an outrageous and distinctly unfair decision. But of course, athletes like to protect their own backsides. So there's only a handful that have gone public against that stance by the IOC. They want to compete at the Olympic Games. You don't blame them. But now's the time to support what World Athletics has done and hope that other sports follow suit. So I'll get to Jane Fleming very shortly on the program. Now, I've got an eminent and somewhat controversial health official joining me on the show today for an interview you've got to listen to. You've not only got to listen to it, you've got to tell your friends and family, your children in particular, to listen to it when we podcast it. Dr. Tess Laurie is an influential medical clinician in the United Kingdom and has even guided the World Health Organization on compliance. She was one of the doyens of British medicine until she blew the whistle on COVID-19 vaccines back in 2020. Today, her warnings about these gene-based trial vaccines have been proven correct over and over again. She joins us today to take us through how this quackery took over the world and why those who protested were shunned, including those within the medical profession. Dr. Tess Laurie, coming up this hour on the program. Do not miss her. Still on all things mysteriously COVID-19, why is there one single COVID vaccine mandate in place in the world? Why? It makes no sense scientifically. It makes no sense medically. It is dumb. As dumb as those people who still wear masks driving on their own in their own car. But it gets worse. One very talented American musician has been banned from YouTube because he dared to take the mickey out of the pandemic and the vaccine mandates. He did it in a song. It was a parody, a piece of satire, almost comedy. You can't even laugh about this stuff anymore. So the rules around comedy and parody have changed as a result of our experience with the pandemic. How dare they? He gets banned and censored, this bloke. They even censored his entire music catalogue over the past 16 years. Scrapped. Gone from YouTube. It is madness. And we will be playing the song in its entirety on this program today. Be damned with them. We're not YouTube. When it comes to comedy, you're allowed to take the mickey out of things that may offend other people. Even the government of the day, even health officials of the day, even in the middle of a pandemic, bugger them. Now, presidential aspirant Ron DeSantis, who isn't officially a presidential aspirant just yet, but I'm sure he'll put his hand up in the next few weeks. He has certainly cranked up his criticism of fellow Republican Donald Trump today. a few hours ago in an interview aired where he sat down with Piers Morgan. DeSantis went probably further than he ever has before about the differences between he and Donald Trump. I'll play you a couple of things that came out of that interview a bit later, but expect a fiery reaction tomorrow from the Trumpster. I know he's holding his breath in Mar-a-Lago waiting to get the sign to go to Manhattan to be arrested, although I think that's well and truly over. But the Trumpster will be spending some time, no doubt, on his own official social media account to respond to Ron DeSantis. You can bet on it. He won't be able to help himself. The battle has now truly begun between these two. Now, talking about battles, there's an election tomorrow in the mighty state of New South Wales, Australia. The Liberal government, according to the polls, will get their marching orders. But don't expect Labor to win in a landslide. That used to be the way it worked, but not anymore, because both parties in Australia are on the nose. But New South Wales is in for a 4 long years being run, not by Labor, who will win the election, but by those with the balance of power, including the Greens and the Greens' Gucci sisters, the Teals. Watch that space. We'll bring in two-party stalwarts today to review tomorrow's election. So don't miss that little debate a bit later in the program. Plus a little bit of this, a little bit of that, including your calls, hopefully. Are you ready to call? We can't have a talkback program without talkback callers, and that includes listeners. Maybe you've got something to say about The Voice, which dominated Australian headlines yesterday. The Voice. You know the question. How will you vote? How will you vote? Let us know. If you're listening from Australia or New Zealand, you can phone me right now on 1-800-670-310, 1-800-670-310. From the UK, 033-0024-1026, or from the US and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. Plenty to talk about today. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live from Sydney, Australia, on the global network, tntradio.live.
The latest headlines.
Politics are getting out of control.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Just before I talk in depth about this transgender ban by World Athletics, this is coming out of the Middle East. This is from Reuters. A US contractor has been killed and 5 US service members and 1 US contractor were wounded when a suicide drone hit a coalition base near Hasakah in northeast Syria, just before 2 p.m. local time, the Defense Department has said in a statement. The intelligence community believes the drone to have been of Iranian origin. The U.S. retaliated with airstrikes on Iranian-linked targets in the area. So this has come from the Iranians, according to U.S. intelligence. But President Biden authorized U.S. Central Command forces to conduct precision airstrikes in eastern Syria in the dark against facilities used by groups affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. According to the statement, the airstrikes were conducted in response to today's attack, as well as a series of recent attacks against coalition forces in Syria by groups affiliated with the IRGC. Our thoughts are with the family and colleagues of the contractor who was killed and with those who were wounded in the attack earlier today. 2 wounded service members were treated on site, while 3 others and the wounded US contractor were evacuated to medical facilities in Iraq. General Michael Eric Carrilla, the commander of US Central Command, said in testimony to Congress that there have been 78 attacks against facilities housing US troops in Iraq and Syria since January 2021. 78 attacks. It's a dangerous place to work. The attacks, mainly by drones and rockets, are believed to have been carried out by Iranian or Iranian-backed proxies. That's the latest from the Middle East. Now, some days you listen to the news and there's a degree of common sense. Not every day, certainly not every day. Most days we just hear about how much more twisted and venomous the world has become. But today is a good day, because finally a world sporting body has come to its senses over transgender athletes. Finally, a group of eminent sporting leaders have rejected the loud and woke voices They've rejected political correctness and made a decision that we all thought was damn well obvious. I can report to you that World Athletics has decided to exclude transgender women who have gone through male puberty from female events. Now, they could have gone further and banned all transgender women entirely, full stop, and there's a fair argument for that to occur, but it will involve those who've been through male puberty. But at least there's recognition at last that men who roar through puberty, strengthening their bodies, taking advantage of all of that testosterone to bring their physique up to scratch, cannot qualify down the track to compete against women in female events. It's as plain as the spikes under their running shoes. It always has been. But of course, in 2003, as you know, the International Olympic Committee decided that males who had changed their legal sex to female and had been through sex assignment surgery should be allowed to compete against women, which is crazy stuff. Because you've gone through sex assignment surgery does not change the fact that through your puberty years, the pubescent years, you have developed a physique that no woman has the ability to develop. So this IOC decision back in 2003 has always been scientifically unfair and misguided, but in the spirit of fair competition, it's always been a shocker, a woke PC ruling aimed at virtue signaling. You know, aren't we inclusive? Come one, come all. Damn the results. No, you stupid morons, with no understanding of biology and no understanding of fairness, you were wrong. So thank goodness for the World Athletics Group and its president, a man the world sporting community has relied on for sensibility for many decades, Lord Sebastian Coe.
Well, it was a decision that was based on a very important and fundamental principle, and that is that as an international federation that has a vibrant female element in our sport, that it was absolutely vital that we protected the female category. And we've done this afternoon what we felt, what we feel is in the best interest of our sport. We're not leaving it at that because we are setting up a working group. The working group will contain transgender athletes, and we want to understand more about the science. The science on transgender is not as robust, we absolutely accept, as it is on DSD, which was the other issue that we had to deal with today. But the reality of it is, at this moment, we don't have any transgender athletes in elite competition. And the consultation was very, very clear across all our major stakeholders. They did not feel at this point that we should have transgender athletes competing at elite level.
That scares me a bit. At this point, does that mean in a 2 years' time when they have transgender athletes wanting to compete in female events that they'll change the rule? Let's hope not. But someone had to make the tough decision because the IOC squibbed it. Congratulations to Lord Coe, who has now protected the female category in sport. Let's hope that every other sporting code takes notice and follows suit. The exclusion of male to female transgender athletes from female world ranking competitions will begin, thankfully, in 7 days' time. And it's been obvious to people like myself and most of you listening that the free-for-all approach to entry in elite sport was compromising the integrity of female competition. I would argue that even in teen sport at a local level, it compromises fair competition. And most fair-minded world champion athletes were saying exactly that. Not many of them. They were quite frightened to tell the truth. Of course, the usual suspects went berserk over the decision. For instance, LGBT campaign group Stonewall described the ruling as disappointing and criticised World Athletics for closing the door on trans people competing at an international level. There is nothing stopping those athletes from creating their own competitions. And if demand dictates, elevating those competitions into some kind of worldwide tournament, their own Olympic Games, why not? Knock yourselves out. None of us would stand in the way of you competing. But it's got to be fair. This is TNT Radio.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Joe Biden has jumped into the fray of climate once again and saying all sorts of silly, nonsensical things, as only U.S. President Joe Biden can do, that his green policies, if they are not put forward, that young people, their generation, the young generation, will be damned. He condemned kind of like children of the corn or something, you know, kids today. Unless we can go full Marxist, unless we can shut down our economy and take away free choice and do planned recessions and regulate every aspect of our lives and ban gas stoves and ban gas-powered cars and have thermostat controls in your house and destroy your dishwashers and your washing machines and stop you from eating meat and get rid of your single-family homes and racist roads and make flying a rare treat that you can only afford and only, basically a playground for the rich again. Unless we do all of that and completely restructure our economy and go along, with WHO pandemics and merge COVID and then they're all going to be damned.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So what World Athletics has ruled on today is truly a landmark decision. It will have significant pushback from the very loud LGBTIQ lobby groups. You can bet on that. But hopefully it will also lead to other sports coming to their senses and establishing a similar ban. I'm joined now by former Australian track and field star Jane Fleming, a 1990 Commonwealth Games champion at heptathlon and long jump. She also represented Australia internationally at the 100-metre hurdles. Her track and field commentary, I think, is second to none. Jane Fleming, welcome to TNT Radio.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Some common sense on the transgender issue, finally. What does the decision mean from what you've heard?
Oh, look, I think you've probably even previous to me coming on air, you've summed it up fairly well. I think the thing that's great for certainly most elite female athletes that I know, and not only in athletics but in other sports as well, is that the sporting organisation or World Athletics is actually now representing the views of those that this decision impact directly. And I think that's really important, and also representing the views of their member federations, because they did go out to all of the member federations around the world and ask for some input, and they got the input and listened to it, and that has obviously been the impetus for their ruling and to come out publicly today and talk around the very great want to protect the female category within our sport. And I have to athletics has always been an unbelievably equal sport. So women and men do pretty much the same events. We compete at the same time, at the same venues, for the same prize money. And we don't even call it women's athletics. We just call it athletics, as opposed to some of the other sports who quite distinctly separate the two forms of their sport. So it is just athletics. And we have a number of different categories in those. We have age groups and we have, obviously the male and female, and it's been very important to protect that female category, particularly at the elite level, and to protect the fairness of the competition.
There were many international champions who came out publicly about the fact that these rulings had to change, that this transgender ban had to come in place. Now, I don't know whether it was because of political correctness or pressure from within the sports, but not too many of them came out. There were only a handful that you could actually get to be interviewed about the subject. Why was that? Why was there a reticence to tell the truth about this issue?
Look, I think it's probably the same situation as a whole lot of political issues at the moment, where there is a very loud minority, and I would suggest that's probably the same in sport. There were quite a significant number of both currently competing athletes and previous competing athletes in the UK that spoke out very loudly about it. And they've had this issue across a number of sports in the UK. So cycling had a very large issue at the start of the year with a transgender male in wanting to compete in their cycling championships, and he hadn't even been transitioned for 12 months. So a number of the female athletes said they would not compete, including a multi-Olympic gold medalist from over there. So they were quite outspoken about it, and they did get some changes. But to be clear, FINA, the World Swimming Body, made this same ruling over a year ago, and Rugby League in the UK and Rugby Union both also have made the ruling, and they of course also have safety concerns with having anyone that has transitioned from male to female playing in female sport, particularly at the elite level. But you know, we are, I guess, saying another way of looking at this is we are not excluding transgenders from competing, we're just excluding them from competing in the female category.
Exactly. They can be part of competition. Now, where does this leave the International Olympic Committee with their ruling made in 2003?
Well, I think the Olympic Committee has actually left it up to each of the individual sporting associations. So I guess they're going to have to, they may have to reassess. I don't know. I'm not sure what their thinking, their current day thinking is on this. And as Seb Coe kind of alluded, there will be more and more science that comes out of this over the next number of years. But I can't imagine it ever changing the fact that regardless of transition and the degree to which you transition, so whether it's just hormonal or surgical as well, but there is, it is always a residual advantage to a human being born male competing in a female category.
Yeah, exactly. That's common sense. Lord Sebastian Coe may have easily fallen for the inclusive argument in this debate, as the IOC did back then. He may have buckled under the noise from the LGBT groups, but thankfully not so. He deserves praise for leadership here, doesn't he?
He does indeed, but I don't think he would have buckled, because he wouldn't have been representing the views of his member associations and his constituents, for want of a better word. Because, you know, if you have a look, even if you go to and have a look at World Athletics Facebook or socials at the moment, all the comments, probably 98% of those comments are in favour. And they are the people that obviously are following a World Athletics feed or following, have an interest in the sport. So I think as president of World Athletics, he had to represent what the constituents and the member federation's voice was. And that does seem to be what's happened. And inevitably there will be people that are opposed to the decision. And really, I guess, the fundamentals, the basics, the very, very basic principle around sport is having fairness. And every rule that is made for sport is around providing a fair playing field. And we have categories, all sorts of categories across all sorts of sport, whether they be weight or age, or in this case, gender, to provide that fair playing field. And that is the fundamental nature of sport, and particularly at the elite level.
So globally, which sports need to follow suit from here, do you think?
Well, I guess there's going to be a whole series of them that still have either not ruled on it. I know, for example, I think weightlifting is one that obviously is going to be in all sorts of, have all sorts of conundrums. You know, weightlifting is one where being born and having elevated levels of testosterone make an enormous difference to performance. There may be some sports where that is not as a distinct advantage. Perhaps something like gymnastics, where having those elevated levels of testosterone through puberty would perhaps not be as a distinct advantage. If anything, they need to have a small frame and the likes to be successful in those sports. But I think it definitely adds weight to the argument by having World Athletics, which is really, I guess, the premier sport from the Olympic Games, take this stance and represent, as you talk around it, common sense, but more than anything, represent fairness and also the majority views of their stakeholders.
Well said, articulated so well. Jane Fleming, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're welcome.
Good on you. Jane Fleming, 1990 dual Commonwealth Games champion, commenting on the ban by World Athletics to take transgender athletes out of female events. This is not an exclusion from competing. There will be events involving transgender women emerge, and they too themselves can create a competition that might be international and have the medals and have the notoriety and the kudos. No one's stopping them from doing that at all. Now, just before I get to a news update, from one good ban to one foul ban, public screenings of a film featuring Winnie the Pooh have been scrapped abruptly in Hong Kong, sparking discussions over increasing censorship in the city. Film distributor Seven Pillars Entertainment announced on Facebook that the release of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey had been cancelled with great regret in Hong Kong and neighbouring Macau. In an email to the Associated Press, the distributor said it was notified by cinemas that they could not show the film as scheduled, but it didn't know why. Didn't know why. I wonder why. The cinema chains involved did not immediately reply to a request for comment. For many residents, the Winnie the Pooh character, it is a playful taunt of Chinese leader Xi Jinping, and it has been for some years. And this is where it grates the Chinese. It, I guess, rubs them up the wrong way. So, of course, Beijing insisted Hong Kong ban Winnie the Pooh. You can't even try and make fun of the leader of the nation. No, 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 no. No one makes fun of Xi Jinping. The film being pulled in Hong Kong has prompted concern on social media over the territory's shrinking freedoms. They sure are shrinking. Okay, just before we get to a news update, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest that you would like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you think we should tackle? Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. As a matter of fact, coming up shortly on the program, someone you asked me to get on the show to talk about COVID-19 vaccines. You asked and you shall receive right after the break. Let's get to news headlines on TNT Radio.
I got a news flash for you.
News flash! TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. The European Union has been accused of sacrificing the needs of its own people after approving a $2 billion plan to resupply Ukraine with ammunition. Russia has warned the world will face oil supply shortages within the next few years due to a lack of investment in the industry. And shopfronts were smashed up and set ablaze in Paris on Thursday night as anger at the French president exploded into civil unrest.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Now, as you know, I often ask listeners to jump online, suggest to us issues that you'd like me to cover on the program. And several emails came in over the last 2 weeks asking me to track down the most eminent mainstream medic I could find to tell the full truth about COVID-19 vaccination. Someone regarded in their country as a leader in their field, someone who'd worked with the World Health Organization, and someone who'd done their due diligence on all the recent research. There was only one person that instantly came to mind, a woman you have often heard on TNT Radio through our community service announcements warning parents not to get their children vaccinated. And I, for one, have followed that advice. My 2 7-year-olds have had one COVID jab, and they will not receive another. They've received all their childhood vaccinations. Now, I think they number about 8 these days, but no more COVID jabs. It's not necessary. They're not in the vulnerable category, and I don't trust the gene-based jabs. Now, the woman I'm referring to is Dr. Tess Laurie. Tess has been the director of the evidence-based medicine consultancy limited in Bath, Queens, England. She has a long list of impressive medical degrees and has practiced clinical medicine in the UK and also South Africa. It was in 2020 that Tess Laurie rang the alarm bell over the hastily created COVID-19 vaccines. By 2021, she was saying publicly that the vaccine should be declared unsafe for use in humans, and that we as doctors, she said, have been put in a position such that our ability to uphold the Hippocratic Oath is under attack. I caught up with Tess Laurie for a comprehensive discussion about what she learnt from this incredible period of history and why the vaccines failed in her mind to pass muster. Dr. Tess Laurie, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks very much, Chris, for inviting me to chat with you this morning.
Tess, you have an extraordinary academic record, an equally extraordinary clinical background. Did you find in 2021, when you started to question the vaccines, that the medical profession began to turn on you?
Well, I did have a request, an investigation by the General Medical Council announced in September 2021. But I just wanted to say my concern about the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, began really in 2020, because I could see there was not sufficient evidence to support their use.
And while you were saying that, and I'll just read a few quotes for our listeners shortly, but while you were saying this and raising things that most other clinicians weren't raising, did you sense that the medical profession didn't accept what you were saying?
Well, it wasn't. It doesn't seem like the medical profession has had too much involvement in the decision making around the COVID vaccine rollout. It was very much a political decision, a decision taken by governments and even I would say supranationals.
Right.
So it's been, you know, quite a journey to discover, you know, where these orders came from and the strategy. And I'd be happy to share my conclusions with you.
Well, you've been quoted as saying the MHRA in the UK now has more than enough evidence on the yellow card system to declare the COVID-19 vaccines unsafe for use in humans. Now, that was in 2021. You stand by that, right?
Of course. I mean, that was in June 2021 when the MHRA had 250,000 reports on their own safety system. You know, the safety system is designed to really highlight early, you know, indicate early issues with safety. And, you know, by the time you've got 250,000 reports, that's beyond, you know, a small number. That's really alarming. And when we did a report on the adverse reactions that were on their own database, the response we received was, you know, that this might be coincidence. Some of these might be coincidence. So, you know, it was very inappropriate, because their job is to be the watchdog, the public watchdog for the pharmaceutical industry, and to you know, raise the alarm and do investigations when there's a really abnormal, extraordinary number of adverse reactions reported.
You also said, quote, hundreds of millions of people have been involved in the largest medical experiment in human history. Mass vaccination was an unproven novel therapy. Hundreds of billions will be made by big pharma and paid for by the public, with politicians and other non-medical individuals dictating to us what we are allowed to prescribe to the ill. We as doctors have been put in a position such that our ability to uphold the Hippocratic Oath is under attack. This really gets to the crux of what you discovered, doesn't it? The fact that doctors were put in a position that they felt, you know, compulsorily dictated to by medical authorities and politicians to go ahead and to support the general consensus about taking vaccines.
What's happened during COVID illustrates what's happened to the medical profession. And I think it's been a gradual thing over decades, probably, where doctors have just become technicians responding to orders and protocols and, you know, having to and complying. So they've sort of outsourced the responsibility and decision-making to so-called health authorities that ultimately are politicians and ultimately, as we're learning, are informed by commercial decisions, supranational corporations who are influencing these our governments and also health authorities like the World
Big
Health
Pharma,
Authority.
You mean?
Yes, and beyond. You know, I think, you know, if I could just say 2.5 years on fighting for humanity, I can tell you there are three things that everybody needs to know, and you know, that are revealed, the information is in the public domain. The one is that, in actual fact, this COVID virus was a man-made virus. It was made in a lab in Wuhan, and it was funded by US money and other monies, supranational monies, and it's called gain of function research. And this has been going on for some time.
Yep.
But this COVID virus was made in the lab. We know this now. It's been confirmed in the US House Select Committee meeting by Dr. Redfield, who was head of the CDC, just last week, or I think it was the 8th of March,
yeah,
where he confirmed this. So we know it was gain of function research. We know that the so-called COVID vaccines are not proper vaccines. They are gene therapy vaccines, and that they're dangerous, and there was never enough evidence to support their use. And we know that, and number three, we know that there have been effective therapies all along that would have ameliorated symptoms of people who suffered from COVID. So when we look at all of that, we really have to ask questions and say, well, what is the reason? Why did all of this happen? And when you can get to that point where you can understand those three things and get to the why, one realizes that COVID was never about a deadly pandemic. It was about control. And so the big picture is that there's supranationals, military-industrial complex that wants to control our movements through health. They call them health certificates, global health certificates. And so they scratched their heads and they thought, well, how can we force people into this global, it's a digital identification, a tagging system. Yep. How can we force people into being tagged willingly? Well, it's by fear, because by fear is how, you know, we've been controlled and manipulated for a very long time. And so they came up with this plan to vaccinate everybody. And then they had to figure out how could they make everybody take an injection regularly. And, you know, again, it's through fear, and they needed a virus. So COVID was, I will say, never a pandemic, but a pandemic of fear that made people willingly and through coercion take these experimental injections. And the ultimate plan, which the World Health Organization and its controllers are trying to launch, is this global health certificate, which digital identification, which will then totally restrict our movements and without, you know, if we don't comply. So this is the amendments to the international health regulations.
So this is not just control by individual countries and politicians and leaders. This is control from the WHO.
This is a global plan. The WHO is just a tool of the globalists. So it's not necessary. It's not a plan by the WHO. The WHO has been corrupted and infiltrated, and it's being led by Director General who worked with Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, which is, you know, Bill Gates's NGO. So, yeah. And Bill Gates, you know, makes $20 to every dollar he invests. So, you know, it's a manifestation of a global public-private partnership that has been going on for far too long, where we have the supranationals dictating to country governments around the world what their health policies should be. And, you know, the opportunity provided here is really that we can get this big picture now. And, you know, many people could say, well, you know, this is ridiculous. It's impossible. It's a conspiracy that so many governments would act in the same way. But this has been going on for a very long time. And it's quite clear that our governments are not serving the people, that they are not doing what's in the best interests of the public. They're doing what's in the best interests of these supranational bodies, like the Big Pharma, but also, you know, the World Economic Forum, which was a amalgamation or a collaboration between all the, top companies that, you know, you name it, from the Pfizer to Amazon and Microsoft, et cetera, you know, who really think that they know what's best for us, and they're setting up the world for a one-world government.
That's Dr. Tess Laurie, previously a regular advisor to the World Health Organization. She's digging deep there, but it's important that we get all of her explanation as to why we saw what we saw during the pandemic. Up next, now that governments worldwide are still recommending that parents have their children vaccinated against COVID-19, we'll hear her advice to parents everywhere. Now, are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? I hope you are. Do you think we're doing a good job? Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab or Getter? You can help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Where have all the swamp rats gone? Long time shilling. Where have all the swamp rats gone? Tearing us down.
No, seriously, where are they?
The lugubrious John Forbes Carey. The pestiferous Peter Strzok. The diabolical John Brennan. Die Spy, Yertle the Turtle, Cocaine Mitch himself. Where are all these people? Where's AOC? Where's the rest of the squad? Where's Alana? Where's Incest Omar? Where are all the people that have been occupying the front pages for the last 6 years? Mysteriously quiet. Where are they? More importantly, what are they up to? From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested. Get treated. Get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
You're listening to Chris Smith
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And it is so good to have your company. Dr. Tess Laurie has her own views about what world government should have done when COVID-19 broke out of that Wuhan lab. She is no supporter of the gene-based vaccines we were told to take. And after studying all the research into the effects of ivermectin on patients, is angry that health authorities failed to adopt this cheaply priced drug to treat COVID patients. Here's the second half of my comprehensive interview on COVID-19 vaccines with Dr. Tess Laurie.
What I'm confused about is during the pandemic, I interviewed dozens of eminent epidemiologists in my country over the 2 years, and I was told that all the appropriate testing had been done on the vaccines, that this was the best way to manage the virus, that the jabs were safe. Are you suggesting that the eminent epidemiologists of the world fell for this as well?
Yes, I am. Because our academic institutions have been corrupted too. So, you know, academia is dependent on these private public-private partnerships as much as our governments are and politicians. So AstraZeneca, for example, was developed at Oxford University Oxford is hugely funded by Bill Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So unfortunately, where money has become a driver of science, there's been corruption. So the scientific journals have been corrupted. So, you name it, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Lancet, they all have been corrupted by Big Pharma.
Which is why, Tess, and you tell me whether I'm right here, which is why ivermectin, a drug, a cheap drug available over the counter, was never given fair space to prove itself, despite various studies that have now been supportive of it, as a therapy or as a treatment, I should say, for COVID-19, because there wasn't enough money in it for the big pharmas.
Exactly. Ivermectin is one of the safest medicines ever. And there's been really double standards in the way that the authorities have pushed back and said, oh, no, you can't take this. We don't have enough evidence and we have safety concerns. And on the other hand, they've rolled out these new experimental therapies with not even a blink. So
you describe ivermectin as an essential drug to fight the condition of COVID-19.
Absolutely. And in actual fact, essential to fight vaccine injury too.
Right. Does it surprise you that we're now seeing a plethora of vaccination injuries?
Not at all. You know, in June 2021, when we looked at the yellow card data, the UK's adverse event data, it was just unbelievable the range of disease being associated with these injections. But on the other hand, not surprising if you think about the mechanism, the way these so-called vaccines are supposed to work, because they are bits of genetic material. So I always think of genetic material like a recipe. Mm-hmm. It's a recipe that is injected into the body in millions of copies, and it circulates around, gets taken up by cells, and then it uses one cell's machinery and ingredients to make a protein, the so-called spike protein. So you get billions or trillions of copies of this gene code or recipe, and then it turns one cells into spike protein factories. And there's no known off switch or duration. So, all of this research needs to be done now to see how long one cells produce this protein. But the protein is made, it can be made in any of the cells in the body, and it causes an inflammatory reaction because your body recognizes it as foreign and then tries to fight it. And so it sets up it causes multi-system inflammation. So it might cause inflammation in the heart, and then it's myocarditis. It might cause inflammation in blood vessels or nerves. It can cause, one gets manifestations of autoimmune diseases, and those can affect any system.
So it was the kind of vaccine that should never have been attempted given the time span that it had to be injected.
Chris, it should never have been attempted. It is not a normal type of vaccine, and there was never the animal studies to show that it was safe.
Right. We hear your COVID concerns on TNT radio community service announcements. Why are you concerned about children taking the current batch of COVID vaccines? Similar to what you've been arguing here with vaccines taken by adults, are you concerned further for the impact that these vaccines may have on children as opposed to adults?
Well, yes, children have their whole lives ahead of them, it's really heartbreaking to see, there are so many children who have lost their lives from these jabs. There are so many children who have been harmed. And not least of all, we have no insight into the effect of the injections on the ability to to reproduce, to have babies. So, you know, if the only studies we have to go on, well, in fact, now we have a new study from an autopsy that done by Dr. Arne Burkhardt. But the only studies we had previously was on rats, where they showed that the products of the vaccine accumulate in the ovaries as one of the, you know, in a higher concentrations than other sites. So, you know, you give one of these injections to a child who's pre-pubertal, one doesn't really even know what whether they will develop in the normal way. And certainly if one looks at Dr. Arne Burkhardt, who's a pathologist in Germany, I believe. Germany, yes. He's recently done an autopsy on a young man and found that the testes were full of spike protein.
Right.
So the ability for humanity to reproduce following these injections is of great concern, and they certainly should never be given to children.
How should we have, in hindsight, how should we have managed the pandemic differently to what the way we did? Apart from removing these vaccines, how would we have kept people from dying?
Sorry to hesitate, because obviously it assumes that there was a pandemic, and in actual fact, it was really a slight increase in deaths that occurred in that year. And in fact, deaths are far more, they're occurring far greater numbers now than they ever did in 2020. So there's excess death rates up to 30% in some countries now, but not at that time. But, you know, generally speaking, for any sort of viral thing, you would want to take vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. You'd want to be in sunshine. You'd stay away from friends when you're you know, sneezing and contagious. But, you know, it's certainly not worth locking down. You don't lock down businesses, and you don't lock people in their homes. You know, I think many people will remember something like chickenpox, where you'd, you know, my day, you'd take your child around to the house where there's chickenpox to yeah. So that they could develop immunity, because we have natural immunity, and natural immunity is what, you know, it's what we're born with. We're resilient. We're creatures of nature, and we have all the tools within ourselves to heal ourselves. So we have immune systems to protect us from bugs.
Very quickly, your final message to those who've taken all the vaccines and are considering adhering to the government rule to take another one. What's your advice to those people listening?
I'd really suggest that we all become the guardians of our own health, and not outsource it to governments, because it's quite clear that they do not have our interests at heart. We need to take responsibility for our health, and there are things you can do if you have regrets for taking the COVID vaccines. Please visit our website, worldcouncilforhealth.org, and you'll find detox guidance there to reduce your spike protein load and so on. So, you know, I really recommend that you just start looking at health and life in a different way, and take responsibility for your health now.
We thank you very much for the work you've done since 2020 on this subject, and we thank you for telling the truth, which wasn't so fashionable through that period. Thank you, Tess Laurie.
That is Dr. Tess Laurie. My interview with her, we were up last night recording it, and I'm glad we put it to air in its entirety. Governments don't have our health at heart. That's her conclusion after the pandemic. Governments don't have our health at heart. And you can get more information from worldcouncilforhealth.org, worldcouncilforhealth.org. Tony says in an email, "My biggest regret and failure as a parent is that I believed our government and got my three kids vaccinated, double jab. I pray every day that they will be okay." That's all you can do. And don't beat yourself up about it, because it was a given, wasn't it? It was a given. But what a brave woman Tess Laurie is, an extremely intelligent doctor who's seen through Big Pharma's money-making intent. She's seen through the pressure being applied to doctors and epidemiologists, as I raised, and is calling out a scam. So take it or leave it. That's your choice. But you cannot question Tess Laurie's credentials or her courage. I think we need more doctors like Tess Laurie. And if you've missed most of that interview, you can go to our section on our website and pick it up much later this afternoon. Just quickly, Canadian President Justin Trudeau is meeting up with Joe Biden. And have a guess what they're talking about. China. Security. That's right. They're going to engage constructively with Beijing, according to the Trudeau administration. But of course, their history, the recent history in Canada, has been that they've been let down badly, that their politics has been intercepted by communist plants. They haven't been paying attention to this space. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that next hour on the program. Plenty more to come. We'll have a look at the New South Wales election through the eyes of two party stalwarts and a stack more, including the COVID joke that was ripped off YouTube, and the musician has basically been censored. 16 years of work erased. All of that coming up next hour. This is Chris Smith on TNT Radio.